mama's so bad, she treats me like shit. Oh, locked down like a penitentiary. To tell you that she's evil. Evil. I've come to tell you that she's evil. Evil. I've come to tell you that she's evil. Evil. I've come to tell you that she's evil. I love her so bad, but she treats me like shit. On lockdown like a penitentiary. Yeah. She spreads her loving all over, so when she gets home, there's none left for me. Evil, I've come to tell you that she's evil. To tell you that she's evil. Evil. I've come to tell you that she's evil. Evil. I've come to tell you that she's evil. She's evil. Evil. I've come to tell you that she's evil. Evil. I've come to tell you that she's evil. Evil. I've come to tell you that she's evil.
She's evil. Evil. I've you that she's evil. Evil. I've come to tell you that she's evil.
Yeah.
I love her so bad, but she treats me like shit. On lockdown like a penitentiary. Yeah. She spreads her loving all over, so when she gets home, there's none left for me. Evil, I've come to tell you that she's evil.
Welcome to Synchronicity, talk radio for your mind, body, and soul. Thanks for joining us today, and we're having some computer problems here at CITR. This is why you need to donate lots of money whenever we have our funding drives, because things break down and it costs money to fix it. So yeah, we're rolling with no Burley today, but that's okay. We'll figure it out. So I am joined today by a guest host, Karen Elkins. She's actually the founder of Science to Sage, which is, how about before we bring our guest on, you tell us a little bit about what Science to Sage is, first of all.
Hi, thank you. Science to Sage is, we do events, we do lectures, we do series.
We produce a online magazine where science and spirituality meet. If you're looking for a paradigm shift in thinking that will take you completely out of the box, and you want to understand the nature of the universe in a way that when they said in the end times, which I think is the beginning times, where one can understand the nature of who you are and the brilliance of who you are and how you've been made. That's what Science to Sage is dedicated to. So thank you for having me on the show.
Yeah, thanks for coming in to be a lovely guest co-host, because it's going to be lots of fun. I love, Karen has such interesting ideas, and she's come with all these, like, she's actually researched this topic. I'm very impressed with your level of preparation. I just come in and fly by the seat of my pants and see what happens and hope I don't cry on the air. but Karen's really prepared. So today's guest is Joshua Shapiro, and he's actually an expert in crystal skulls. So we're going to be talking about what crystal skulls are, and he's coming to Unity of Vancouver in this month.
He's coming Sunday.
Sunday,
March 11th, and he'll be there at 4 o'clock.
Sunday, Unity of Vancouver, March 11th, mm-hmm. 4 o'clock, and it's, I think, $20 to get in?
It's $20 to get in.
Okay. So if you're interested in the topic of crystal skulls and you want to come and check it out, join us. Okay, so welcome to the show, Joshua.
Well, thank you very much for being here. It's a great pleasure, and we always enjoy speaking to our friends in Canada. We really like Canada. We're not too far away from you in Seattle. And actually, this past weekend, we were up in Delta meeting with quite a few people. So we're very excited to be able to come back this Sunday for the talk, which Karen has helped us to set up.
Wonderful. Well, okay, so tell us now, what about Chris, Karen?
Here's my question, Joe, because here's a really one. When I think of George Lucas, and who makes all these incredible movies, and the one he did was Indiana Jones and the Kingdom of the Crystal Skull. And I think that, Joshua, actually woke a lot of people up to, well, like, what are these skulls? Where did they come from? Do they really exist? And what is the missing one? So when I think of the curiosity question, I think what would come to a lot of people's minds is, I think of George Lucas. Why did he research this? And obviously you're an explorer. Why the fascination?
Well, I can't explain for George Lucas and Spielberg why they decided, other than it's one of the greatest mysteries of the world, and since Indiana Jones is always trying to discover the next world greatest mystery, then I guess they decided this would fit. But for myself, I saw my first crystal skull in San Jose, California in 1983. So that means for 29 years now, I've been involved in the study and investigation of them. And I think that the main reason that I am doing this is because when I saw my first crystal skull, which was made out of amethyst quartz, and I believe it to be one of what's called an ancient crystal skull or very old crystal skull, the message that I received, and this was just from the picture of it before I actually saw it, was that the crystal skulls are returning, meaning that there have been civilizations that have worked with them and been very intimate with them in the past, is they're here to help us to create planetary peace. And what we observe is, even as we have people who are working with our personal crystal skulls, of which, of course, people will have a chance to meet on Sunday at the Unity Church, we are watching tremendous personal transformation and healing that goes on due to the electromagnetic frequencies which these skulls emanate. So I've already given you a kind of a couple of pieces about that, so I'm ready for your next question.
About why the 13 skulls? Isn't there one missing?
Well, this is a very controversial area. There supposedly are legends that discuss 13 crystal skulls that have come through various indigenous people. And the problem with these legends is most legends, there's no way to be able to substantiate it or prove it. So, for example, the Sci-Fi Channel in 2008, when the Indiana Jones film came out, they started playing off of this idea of 13 crystal skulls, and then they started talking about some of the ones that are believed to be quite old. Could we already know about 8 of them or 12 of them or whatever? Well, what has come to myself and my partner Katrina, and I've talked with other people involved with the skulls, is we believe that if indeed there exists a set, an original set, they use the word original usually to talk about them, of 13 crystal skulls that say have been on this planet or in this world for thousands and thousands of years, our personal feeling is not one of those has yet surfaced. Because if they were to surface, and I'm going to presuppose that your listening audience has some knowledge about the paranormal or spiritual, the vibrational frequency associated with those 13 skulls, which would be so high that there exists the possibility that people could disintegrate in their presence. So what I believe has actually happened is many other crystal skulls, which maybe were created by the Mayans or other Mesoamerican cultures, or maybe they came from Atlantis or Lemuria, a lot of these older skulls are surfacing and giving humanity an opportunity and giving people an opportunity to become acquainted with them, to know their energy, to see how they work, and to prepare us for perhaps one day in the future, of which I have no idea when this day may come, that these original skulls may actually come back. But I also feel, too, if these original skulls do exist, they do not exist in our physical reality right now. They could be in a different dimension waiting until humanity is ready. So this is the way, the approach that we've come from. But we also come to this approach not only because we feel it inside, but because the crystal skulls that we've seen, that we've worked with, who many of them have a living consciousness, they're telling us this also. They're saying that these older skulls, it's not yet time for them to come out, and all the new skulls that are being made now and these other ones that are being found in the ground, like in Mexico and Central America, or in private collections that are coming out, they're preparing humanity to deal with the frequencies of energies that are around the skulls. And it's not a magnetic energy, as the Indiana Jones film showed. It's electromagnetic, which is why they have such a powerful effect on people when you're in their presence.
So, Joshua, if I'm understanding you correctly, it sounds like you're saying that the skulls that you're working with and that are being discovered right now are replicas. They're not the originals.
Well, if I have our crystal skulls near us, and whenever they hear this term replica, they cringe, because for them, every single crystal skull that exists, no matter how it is made, whether it is a newly made one or one of the older ones, they are all real skulls. They all have their own tasks that they do, their own energy that they emanate. So they don't feel this concept of a duplicate, because if it's a duplicate of these original skulls, it's going to be a crystal skull that is made of a superior quality. And we haven't seen any of the modern skulls until, I'd say, within the last 5 years, where they've been able to duplicate them very close to what resembles even a human bone skull.
Here's a question that I have, you know, Josh, because a lot of people don't understand the properties of crystals. And it wasn't something that I necessarily understood until a little bit a while ago, that everything on the planet is basically crystallized into form. And that means a rock, us, the Earth, the planets, and the stars. Everything has a field around it, which actually literally sings its own song. It has its own resonance. And people don't necessarily understand that notion. So can you take it from there?
Well, I don't know if I can take it from the position that you're discussing it, but I can speak to the material that the crystal skulls are made from, or the original ones, you know, these older ones that have been found, which has been quartz crystal. So that's where I would like to take it. Now, quartz crystal, of course, is being used in all of our modern electronics today. And the primary reason that they have selected quartz is because it has the ability to take an electrical current through it and amplify it like 10 or 100-fold. As a result of using quartz crystal in our modern electronics, everything is becoming smaller and smaller and miniaturized. Now, when a human being decides that they are going to select a piece of quartz crystal that, let's say, they want to use for their own spiritual evolution or even to get energy, again, what I believe is happening is that the quartz crystal is responding to the electromagnetic frequency that is around every human being, and it's enhancing that. So a lot of people feel more energy, or if they're sick, they feel that they can balance their energy and become healthier. So now if we move towards the crystal skulls, what we're finding with the crystal skulls is, number one, the quartz is acting as a transmitter and receiver for different frequencies of vibrational energy. So that what this means to me is perhaps the living intelligence that we are seeing, that seems, as soon as a crystal skull finds its right guardian, it's becoming active, becoming alive, is starting to work through these skulls, it could be this property of quartz crystal to act as a dimensional door is allowing these spirits to work through the skulls to have an interaction with us, so it seems like they're people, in order to be able to help us with knowledge, information, energy for clearing and healing and who knows what else. So I really see the quartz as being a very important stone or mineral that has been given to humanity, which is assisting us in our spiritual evolution, as well as also as a wonderful material for the skulls. And also, because quartz crystal is a very hard substance, it can last thousands and thousands of years. So if some of these crystal skulls are 10,000, 50,000 years old, because of this material they're made from, they will last for this long period of time.
Okay, Karen's got a very interesting look on her face. She's inquisitive. She's madly writing notes here. So go ahead,
Chris. I am. Here's the question that I have, Joshua. There's two essences here. One is the essence of the crystal, which I understand, and we do use it in our computers. It is a store and a transmitter of information. That's why we use it. And actually, we are crystallized into form, and that's what we are. Every essence does that. But the question that I have is, when it is then shaped into a skull, does it take on a different property? Because then it has its own resonance with its own geometry. And then what you're basically, another question that I have would be, then it's paranormal, and then is it transmitting then something from someplace else, which is a greater part of the field?
Ooh.
About three questions in there.
Go ahead, Joshua.
Right. I'll do my best to answer them. Generally, what happens is when I deal with people who are like in their 20s and 30s, they have thousands of questions about this, so I'm used to this. So I would say, as far as the question about the form of it being like a human bone skull, well, first of all, consider, when we're going to talk to somebody else, which part of the body are we going to look at in that individual? Are we going to look at their arm, their foot, their knee? No, we tend to look at their head. We look at their head because we think that the essence and intelligence of who that person is in the head, controlled by the brain. But I think further that there is a higher intelligence that decided the form that we have in our human body. And they knew, just like they knew, the ancients knew with the pyramids, when they made a pure pyramid, when you go one-third of the way down from the top, that it rejuvenates metal. The same thing with the shape and form of a human bone skull. It allows an individual to be in touch with universal knowledge, cosmic knowledge and information, which is coming more, I would say, like on an energy or a telepathic level. So this form seems to help every single human being to be able to get in touch with their spirit, their soul, with universal knowledge and information. Now, if you take quartz crystal, which is already a dimensional door, a material that's working with these other energies, and then you put it into the shape of a human bone skull as well, then I think that what happens is it becomes an enhancement and makes it easier, not only for it to store all this knowledge and information, but also for the spirits that are working through the crystal skull to have contact with us. Because right now, where humanity on a physical level is, we have enough time accepting the concept that there are other intelligent beings that live in other planets. This is a very big, you know, are these UFOs real? Are crazy who are seeing UFOs? So spirit's very, and what it's going to do is going to try to find that's not as scary or frightening in contact with us. And so what it does is to take this crystal, puts it in the shape, looks like us, makes it a little bit easier for us to understand having a contact with us. Now, you had one other question, which I don't remember exactly what that was. Could you ask that again?
I can't remember, but here's the other thing that's coming to mind. And the last issue I have for the Science to Sage magazine, a lot of it had to do with UFOs and where our origins and where we began and intelligent life in other places. And when you're talking about that and you're talking, well, I'm going to go back to the electric magnetic field, because everything emanates out of the field. And everything sings out of the field. Each planet, even from NASA, will tell you that every planet has its own resonance. So that is no different than I would think the skulls or anything else. So when you're talking about UFOs, you're basically saying that they or the beings or other entities that are out there are actually transmitting literally through these incredible power sources, because they're actually quite big. Am I not correct, Joshua?
The ships are quite big, or the skulls?
The skulls are quite big.
Well, a crystal skull, the size of it is irrelevant. I mean, you can work with a crystal skull that's small or large, and it still has the same potential to affect human beings. So size is really not relevant with it.
Well,
of course, there are some crystal skulls that are human size, and there are some that are like 100 pounds that they're making, which is quite large, but really, from our experience, size really doesn't have anything to do with it. As far as the UFOs go, I have actually had a vision. Now, there's no way I can prove this. I think this happened to me when I was working with a mold of the Mitchell Hedges skull, which is considered to be one of the most famous, and it's also one of the most controversial, but it's a exact duplicate of a human bone skull. And I had a vision while I was in Brazil working with that of being on board spacecraft and actually working with crystal skulls on spacecraft, which were communicating with the crystal skulls on the Earth. So then you have the kind of possibility that just as our internet, we have all the computers in the world that are talking to each other. Also, the crystal skulls as living intelligences are sharing information and speaking to each other as well. So very possible some of the crystal skulls down here on the Earth are observing like a video camera what's happening here and sending it to their counterparts on board the spaceship. So there are so many different aspects of the crystal skulls that you can get into that I think it would take probably 20 lifetimes to really fully understand everything that's going on around them.
There was Joshua, there's a question that I had, that something that came, and you were talking about there would be, we wouldn't be able, if all the 13 skulls were around, we would not vibrational be able to take that. So as we are, a lot of people are being challenged these days vibrationally, and we're all having our stuff. And as we take the challenge to clean out our past and to look at our histories, and we rise our own vibration, which is, I think, the challenge of these times. If we're to bring on a new golden age, that's really what's being asked of us to do. But when one of those ancient cultures in the South America, I can't remember if it was Mayans or the Aztecs or whatever, they disappeared. I remember there was a disappearance of them, and people wanted to know where and what they'd done. Would it be possible, from what you're saying, it almost kind of reminds me of we get so light that we become particle-like, like Star Trek, and then all of a sudden, if these things were to show up, we would basically transcend.
Well, this is what I think is eventually going to happen, is there will be a day in our future, but who can say when this day will be, where perhaps these so-called original 13 skulls will appear and they will assist to take this planet into a higher vibrational state. But I also agree with you, like, for example, with the Inca, because we've done some travels to Peru. The Inca were numbered in the millions, and then all of a sudden the Spanish came, and literally in a short period of time, because they had more advanced weaponry, they were able to defeat the Inca Empire. But the situation was is that when they finished, there were not so many people left, but they couldn't have possibly killed all of them with an army of a few hundred soldiers. So the suggestion that was given related to the Inca, which probably could be the same for the Mayan or the Aztec or other Mesoamerican cultures, is that there is an underground tunnel system. This underground tunnel system was probably created during the time of Atlantis. And they speculate that a lot of these people already knew about these tunnels and literally went inside. One time when I was on island in Lake Titicaca, which is the highest elevated lake in the world. There's a lot of these little islands there. I met with a Inca shaman, and the Inca shaman actually took me to a place where there was kind of like a cave, and he was pointing there and saying, well, this cave has been boarded up, but he knew, or there were rumors, that actually people could enter this cave and go all the way underneath the underground tunnel system and take it from Lake Titicaca to Cusco, which has probably got to be like about 800 or I would guess maybe 800 miles away. So I think related to your speculation about people disappearing, two possibilities, either going into the underground tunnels where there exist these cities, as has been shown in some of our sci-fi channels, or walking through dimensional doors and going into another dimension.
That kind of, Josh, it kind of reminds me, there's stories of, I'm going to call it UFO or aliens in the past, where they were called the ant people. There was a distinguishing factor between, there were two alien races that came. One were the ones, the dragoons, and the other were the ant people. And there was, you know, they went underground because if you look at anything from the Bible to Japanese to Greek, you name it, it's everywhere. The I'm going to call it the dragon or the serpent came, and you can see that it devoured. And it was interesting in the Western culture. It appears that the Westerners, from the Vikings, from that perspective, were like fighting it, and the other more Asian cultures were more acquiescent in the sense that they took some of the wisdom of it, which was brilliant in some senses. But there was definitely all over the Northern Hemisphere, even in the Celtic places, where there are mounds that are built, where these people definitely went underground. So you're bringing up a lot of different little things that are going and triggering thoughts in my mind. Do you have any thoughts of that?
Well, the only thought that I have on this is based on prophecies, which link crystal skulls, UFOs, ancient civilizations, underground civilizations, the hollow earth, dimensional beings in contact. We're coming into a place in time, and especially I'm feeling this more and more as we're going into 2012, where all of these things are starting to manifest and come forward. Secret documents are coming out. Secret societies that have been holding their knowledge for a long time are starting to share it. Even the indigenous people, we hear rumors from some of their shamans that they have held on to certain information that they had to wait until a certain period of time when humanity was ready to release it. So what I believe this is all about is the world as we know it is going to go in golden age, which you yourself have just said. But not only do I know that's going to happen, I personally have a guide. And again, there's no way I can prove this. I'm just having this telepathic communication from this guide. I see him in my mind's eye, and he says his name is Arjus. Arjus says, Joshua, I am you in your future in this lifetime. I am already living in the future that your world is going to go. Now, the first question a rational person would have to ask about Arjus is it possible that we can travel through time and that, or just from a level of consciousness, we can be aware of who we are or who we have been in the past, as well as who we will be in the future. From a spiritual perspective, and I've asked this of many groups, like when we've done public talks, almost everyone agrees. They believe it is possible that we can know either the past or the future. I mean, we already know we have psychics who are telling us about visions they have of the future. And I think the reason for this is because on the level of spirit, time does not exist. It is the simultaneous now. So I believe that Arjus is seeing where we are going, and he's showing me that humanity is going to go into this state where we're going to live together in peace and harmony. We're going to live in communities. We're going to have contact with all these different beings from other dimensions, from the inner earth, from spirit, etc. As a matter of fact, I believe by the time that we reach this future, the difference between being alive in the physical and having awareness of an existence in the spiritual, there will be no difference.
There's a couple of things that come into my mind, I think, that will explain that to the listeners. For some, that may seem like it's a little out there. But one thing that came to my mind a long time ago, if you look at the notion of a prism, a prism isn't a spectrum of light, but it has one light that beams down. So when we look at our planet, what has been made very clear to me is that we do have lived one story. And when you look at mythologies across the world, if you watch Zeitgeist or any of these things, you will see that these mythologies are one story, basically, I'm going to say, masked in a cultural context that is really beautiful. I mean, we have culturally have our artistic flair on them, but the context of them is the same. The one thing that comes out is the notion of geometry. And when we look at the prism and the pyramids, which are all over the world, not just in Egypt, they're sunken in Japan, they're in China, they're in North America, they're everywhere. These prisms are a representation, as far as what I can tell, of these ancient beings that have come down. A pyramid is actually like a beehive where you built your colonies, and it creates its resonance in order to send out signals to its creation. But at the same time, this prism is what we are. We are crystallized into form, and we're part of the spectrum. And when you think of that, then you're going from the top to the bottom of the light. So you can live in any one of those levels as we're being beamed down. So that the idea of living dimensionally, all of them at one time, and like you're saying, Joshua, you're becoming more aware of it as veils are lifting and you can see broader, then those things are becoming more evident. And the idea of the quadrants and the which is the four corners, and we're the four corners of the planet, and the four directions, and the four seasons, and the four elements basically all come together. That's kind of interesting for me. The one thing that, if you can enlighten us on, I know these skulls are found all over the world, and just like pyramids and everything else, I think the more we find out that we live in one story and we can learn to get along, mm-hmm. I think that would be the beautiful thing. I think that's the message of even if I would look at the 13 crystal skulls or the skulls as something, again, it's just one more element of our own archaeology that we're finding, and we're realizing that we're all made in the same likeness of what? That's in the next issue of the magazine, which is kind of interesting, some questions and why we're here. But I think it is to evolve. But maybe you can talk about all the ones and all the places that you've discovered that they are.
Well, from a historical point of view, the crystal skulls first came to the public's attention mostly from ones that were uncovered in Mexico and Central America, which means that they had a connection with those civilizations. Now, even until the modern time, which is meaning today, the only indigenous people who publicly admit that they were involved with crystal skulls are the Mayans. And the Mayans that I have spoken with have talked about some connection with the Pleiades, the grandfathers of the Pleiades, meaning that the extraterrestrials probably brought skulls to them to use as tools for awakening consciousness and awakening spirituality. As we move more into the modern times, there now begins to be rumors, as we listen to the stories of different crystal skulls that have come out, which, by the way, when I first started in 1983, there weren't that many of these older skulls that were known. The ones that were known were coming out of the area that I said, Mexico and Central America. However, what's happening now is we have crystal skulls that are coming out of many other places, but the listeners need to now understand that the definition, which initially of a crystal skull was a quartz skull, is no longer that. It is any type of gemstone that is put into the shape of a skull, which could be a human skull, it could be a monkey skull, it could be an animal skull. They're finding these crystal skulls all over the world. In addition to the two areas I mentioned, now out of Mongolia, there's a whole different type of stone skull that's being discovered. If people decide to join us on Sunday, we have an example of one of those skulls that we received called Tchoula. It doesn't look like a human skull. It looks completely different. But there's many skulls coming out of Mongolia. And then, of course, we've heard stories. You know, there's another one I'm thinking of. A friend has that I've known for a long time that came out of Love, Russia, which I think is now part of Poland. It was sticking out of a mound of an ancient civilization that was contemporary of Genghis Khan. So they're kind of discovering the skulls in a lot of different places. Their skulls are coming out of Europe, but these skulls from Europe may have been one stolen from the Americas by the Spanish, which went to private collectors. So there's too many to talk about, and I would imagine that there's probably other indigenous tribes and people. Like there's some rumors about Aborigine, also a group of Aborigine people that also have a crystal skull, and another one called Synergy, which is considered to be a very old skull or ancient one. They say they had it for thousands of years. So they're coming from different parts of the world. I would think that probably the reason for this is that there may have been one or two places, like let's say, for example, the crystal skulls were based in Atlantis. Many of us believe that Atlantis was destroyed, and what could have happened, and I believe did happen, because I have visions of this, coming from Atlantis, going to Peru, is the sacred tools were taken and spread throughout the world. So I kind of think this is probably what happened. Either Atlantis, Lemuria, maybe the crystal skulls and other types of sacred tools were taken, spread to different parts of the world, recognizing that at some future time, humanity would be ready to work with these tools, which is, in fact, what's happening with the crystal skulls. For many, many hundreds of years, nobody talked about crystal skulls. Crystal skulls didn't come up until probably around the middle part of the 1800s. So in my mind, what's happening and why so many people want to have their own new skull right now is something shifted, I would say, in the 1970s and 1980s, where this tool now becomes a very important tool to raise humanity's consciousness, and so people naturally are drawn to it. They have an intuition, or a lot of times people will write to us through our websites on the Internet, which I hope we'll be able to mention those before we finish, and that they'll just say to us, you know, we don't know why, but all of a sudden we have to have our own crystal skull. So it's very interesting, and I'm not sure that there's any one person who really knows the true history about all of this or why the skulls are coming out of the different places that they are, but we do know that there are a number of places now where what is now called a crystal skull, meaning of any gemstone type, is being found, and it's keeping us extremely busy because we always have new things that are going on. Almost monthly, we hear about a new skull that comes out or some new people that are working with it or have some different ideas about it. So, but it still has not changed what I felt when I saw my first one, that they're coming out now to assist us to create this golden age.
All right. Well, thank you, Joshua. It's time to take a break. So I want to put out your website, whatarecrystalskulls.com and crystalskullexplorers.com. Are those the best ways to contact you?
Yes, or they can email us at crystalskullexplorers@gmail.com. But that email is on those websites. So
okay,
yes,
and you're going to be at Unity of Vancouver on Sunday, March 11th
at 4 p.m.
And so we're going to take a break. We're going to play the Indiana Jones theme song because Karen brought up that really interesting idea that of Indiana Jones and the Crystal Skull. So we will be back with more synchronicity in just a moment. right. Welcome back to Synchronicity, talk radio for your mind, body, and soul. I'm your host, Marie Bernard, and today we are joined by Karen Elkins. She is the founder of Science to Sage. You can find her at sciencetosage.com, and she is my lovely co-host today, filled with amazing, I mean, gosh, you should see how she's just madly taking notes and all of these like thoughts, it's just going off in all these different directions. And I'm like, my mind is boggled. I don't even know how she can keep up with all this information. But we also had today's guest is Joshua Shapiro. He is an expert in crystal skulls. He's going to be at Unity of Vancouver this coming Sunday, March 11th at 4 p.m. If you want to check him out, and you can go to his website, whatarecrystalskulls.com, and again, Karen's website, sciencetosage.com. And you are listening to CITR 101.9 FM in Vancouver, or you might also be listening online at citr.ca, cosmicdimensions.com, empowerradio.com, or on the Co-Creator Network. And we actually, during the break, had a guy call in. He creates mountain biking trails, and they mark their trails with crystal skulls to keep them in alignment. He didn't want to get on the air and talk about them, and he won't tell me where they are because they're secret mountain biking trails. But apparently, if you see one of these skulls, it's there for a reason. So leave it there, and you're on a very special trail if you happen to discover one of them. So welcome back to the show, Joshua.
Well, thank you, Marie, and thank you, Karen. Pleasure to be here. So which direction shall we go next?
I had a question that came to my mind when you were talking about how I can't even think of it right now, but it made me came up with the idea of crossing the land bridge, that, you know, that if there is a time when cultures from like Tibet and came all the way over across the land bridge, the Inuit, and then all the way down to the Navajo, you can see a lot of the artwork and a lot of the similarities of the people and how they dress and their costumes and customs. But it's really interesting when you think about that this whole thing, there was a time when people did get around. There was a time when actually the Chinese actually circumnavigated the world before Christopher Columbus did. There are maps, ancient maps, that said we get around. And then if you look at the UFO lore, you can see that from the Vedic tradition to the Bible, there is definitely alien visitations. So it seems to me that these things would be everywhere, and they understood the nation and of the universe with its geometric forms and its electromagnetic patterns, because that's exactly how we actually evolve. Yeah, think of the notion of the pine cone. And the pine cone, if you look at, you know, how 8 go in one direction and 13 go in the other direction, this creates that. That's the pattern of the electric magnetic field, which you're talking about. And if you look at it, they have those electric magnetic patterns at the Vatican. They have a pine cone. They have them in all of the, you know, the Assyrians, where they're actually turning the code and the keys, the pine cone. It's the magnetic electric field. That is the property of absolutely everything. So when I think of the skulls, it is the everything. So I think the notion that came up in the magazine Science to Sage in this last issue was Michael Talbot's work on, is it a big G or a little G? Are we dealing with God? And is God the magnetic electric part of the field and how he creates? And then there's the little G, which is the aliens that came down and kind of created us. You know, are they all part of the skulls and part of the knowledge that we as people, in order for us to actually arrive into our own great selves and not be what I would call a race that fights and does all the things, is this what we need to understand is the nature of the magnetic field and who we are, which is maybe some of the secrets of the crystal skulls and how we get there?
Well, if the crystal skulls are the ancient computers and they are recording, which is what I believe, that they record everything around them, and most certainly this is going to be one of the key services that they will provide to humanity, is this wealth of knowledge collected from ancient cultures and civilizations long ago, as well as the entire history of our planet, etc. The only key seems to be is how do we access this information. So, for example, so far working with the crystal skulls, we have had people that we would call sensitives who've gone into an altered state of trance, or they've tried to link in energetically to the frequencies which the crystal skulls have recorded. But the only challenge that we've had with that is you could have two different sensitives or mediums sitting with the same crystal skull, and they will give you completely different information. So we're not totally sure if the crystal skull is mirroring back, because I think they also do this too. They mirror back to people who they are and like maybe past lives or where they've been, etc. So it could be that the skull is doing that with the medium, or the medium may possibly be actually getting information. Actually, we're going to have something interesting that's going to take place on Friday, which I hope to bring to Canada as well. We're working with a friend here named Michael Shane, who's a transphysical medium, and he has had some visions when he was younger of crystal skulls, and this has kind of brought us together. What Michael is doing is not only is he communicating for the Ascended Masters, but he's also apporting objects. And he has apported for us a small crystal skull, which the people will be able to see on Sunday when we do our talk. It goes with us. But the reason that I'm bringing this up is that Michael has taken the human-sized rose quartz skull that we've had made for us by an advanced carver in China. We received it last October. And what he does is he channels from the intelligence in the skull, and he gives to people messages. And it was very interesting what happened when he did that in December, and then on this Friday he's going to do this again. So he actually was speaking from the intelligence of the skull. So this is just something that we have observed to kind of support this idea that these crystal skulls, whether new or old, are actually recording all these frequencies and energies and histories and things around them, which is sort of like what our computers do. And I believe that at some point in the future that we will have some technology or a way in which what I see in my mind's eye, and I have no idea where this comes from, like a monitor that you connect to a crystal skull. It would be kind of like, you know, connecting a monitor to a computer, and then all of a sudden on the monitor you can see the movies that are on there or whatever, that visual information that's been recorded in the crystal skull, that eventually one day we'll be able to see it. And I think that's going to be mind-blowing when we're able to access this kind of information.
Yeah, there's a couple things come to mind. I think when I think of the holographic universe, and I think of the Earth as 90% crystal itself, then there's definitely wisdom within the Earth, and it's been recording its history, as we've been recording our own, for a very long time. So I can understand what you're saying when you're saying that maybe these quartz crystals have been recorders, just like we use in our computers, so that they could be holographic. The other thing I was questioning, I think you're doing a meditation on Sunday, are you not, with where we are all collectively going to meditate, and then are we having an opportunity maybe to share what comes up for us?
Yes, we will be offering a meditation, but also on the 13th of every month, at the 13th hour, we also do a worldwide meditation with people who also are working with crystal skulls, too. And the reason that we do that meditation is we're visualizing a very loving and positive energy to send out to all the life on the planet. And we believe that the crystal skulls also help to amplify that energy. So the same thing will probably happen for the meditation that we do on Sunday. People who participate with us, there's going to be enhanced energy from us human beings participating in the meditation, as well as what's going to come from the skull. And again, we will send out a very loving energy to our planet. So yeah, definitely we plan to do that meditation.
Then the other question, I think, when you're talking about the concept of mind, when you look at any wisdom tradition, it will always tell you that all we do is live in the mind field. So at any point in time, there are multiple dimensions. I mean, if I look at the two of us sitting here, or the three of us, not one of us live in the same exact reality. And then we often think, well, how could that be? Well, I mean, everybody lives in a different reality. And so when they say there are many mansions, if you look at Mandelbrot and you look at how the fractal patterns work and you look into the night sky, it is exactly the same. You can see that same fractal pattern in all of the galaxies that are out there. So you can see the micro to the macro. And it is, you have choices of what reality you want to live in. So when I think of somebody tapping into one level of consciousness or another, we always have choice. There's always choice. But I think I like the idea of the skulls with their earth wisdom, recording our history from time immortal, which would actually be pretty fun if we could plug it in and we could get to the level where we could do that. So to me, as far as being telepathic or whatever, that is all in the field. When I think of something like Tesla, we actually have this technology that you using radio. When his mother died, he could still hear her. So he knew that there was another way and another channel. And Marconi got credit for it. I think but it was Tesla he went to at the end and said, I can't figure it out. And Tesla said, just go to my laboratory. But the reason we have radio the way we have and the frequency, we can't see it, touch it, and hear it, but it is there. So when we think of it, the whole spectrum, to think that we are not able to communicate sounds like a crazy idea, but it's not something that we're thought to think about. But the question is, how high can you tune in and what spectrum you go? And some people tie up in a little higher. So why not? That's my thought. Do you have any thoughts about that?
Well, your comments remind me of a story that I heard from another crystal skull guardian that we know that lives in New Jersey, New York area. Her father worked in the TV radio industry in the very infant stages of it back in the 30s and 40s. And she made an interesting comment, which I had heard before, which was there are certain frequencies, especially like radio frequencies, which the professional companies avoid because what happens is they start hearing people speaking on those frequencies, but they're not being broadcast from somewhere on the earth. So in other words, what they were picking up was the voices of either people that exist in a different dimension or the voices from spirit. Now, there was another group that we worked with because we're starting to get very involved in the paranormal. And actually, currently right now, I'm finishing up a book about three trips that we took to Peru looking for a blue crystal skull. But the next book, which we're going to start working on, is going to be more geared towards the paranormal because we're working with these different mediums now. And just like you're asking me all these different questions about the crystal skulls, I'm preparing to ask all kinds of questions like this to the spirits that are going to be starting to speak to us through the mediums. But anyway, getting back to this one person, we did work with another group of people who were using radio waves in order to hear spirit to answer them. And how the device worked is it was alternating between one radio wave to another. And as it did this very quickly, you could start to actually hear the spirit starting to speak. So I'm only offering these parts as a kind of a support for what you're saying, that there are all these different energies and frequencies which are around us. And it just depends upon each individual what they're attuned to, because we each have our own spiritual gifts. For example, Katrina has the ability to see spirits. She sees the orbs. And I don't have that gift. The only thing that's really come is I'll see lights, colored lights that flash at me sometimes, but it's only for a brief moment. And sometimes recently I've actually seen a colorless object move with no shape to it, so I don't know what that is. But mostly my ability to pick up, let's say, other presences that are around is more on a feeling level, or sometimes what I hear is things implanted into my thinking thoughts, my thinking mind, which I know they're not me, but all of a sudden I hear something, and I know that it's coming from spirits around. So I believe absolutely you're correct that we're in a period of time right now where a lot of these things which were hidden from us or which were thought to be fantasy, as the vibration of Mother Earth gets higher and higher, which is what I believe is part of what's taking us into the golden age, then these other realities are appearing in our physical reality. And this is the reason why these kind of radio shows are very important, so people can hear about all these kinds of amazing things that are starting to happen in our world right now. And if they themselves are having these kind of experiences, that they are not alone. This is growing by leaps and bounds. And we see it, again, because we have a lot of contact with people through our websites. People email us telling us their experiences. And I always find it very interesting because I see the trends. Just like with the crystal skulls, up until, I would say, the middle part of the 1990s, there wasn't really a strong interest for people to have their own skull. And then all of a sudden it just exploded. And I can't really explain to you one event that caused that. It just happened by itself.
So Joshua, I'm really, there's a,
very intrigued
the listeners.
By what's
think
going
the
on right now.
Oh, is he?
Go ahead.
When I think of the electromagnetic spectrum, this is where I think where people might be able to understand. When we look at the very top of the spectrum, it's atoms and particles. And when you look down to our earthly dimension, we're actually solidified particles, these solidified atoms that crystallize literally into form, and that's what we are. And all along that spectrum, there is a lesser and lesser way to, and these are also the radio waves, the frequencies. So some people are more in tune to it than others, and it's a way for the listener to understand the difference of where it is that you can rise to literally and where it is that you can tune in. And some people are more adept at that. So it's not really woo-woo. It's really where are you on the spectrum and what can you tap into?
And so I just want to, we just have a few minutes left in the show, so I want to get a few things out of the way first. Again, we're talking with Karen Elkins, is the guest host today, guest host extraordinaire, taking us to a completely different level. I mean, I can't even, I'm hearing all these things. It's just so over my head, most of it, but I'm really enjoying seeing your thought process come down on paper. So if you would like to hear Karen come back on the show and bring new and interesting guests that I would never think of to have on the show, email me, spiritualshow@gmail.com, and let me know that you want to have her back on the show. And you can contact her at sciencetosage.com. She helps to organize these talks for people, events. And she has her magazine. And so if you want to get into, I mean, if you're into the more of the scientific, I'm kind of into the like, let's so kumbaya, hold hands.
Thank you both.
But you're really